that way. This morning's reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. And in the church Bibles, that's page 1060. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. Luke 24. Okay. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'" Thank you.
Let's go back 2,000 years. Am I on? 2,000 years. I'm walking down the road with my mate standing beside me, and I've just seen, a few days before, something terrible happening. So my mate and I are talking about it. We're walking up and down the road, going to Emmaus, and all of a sudden, somebody comes up, walks beside us. Who's he? Don't recognise him. I've never seen him before. So we carry on talking, and then this person starts talking to us. That's strange, isn't it? A stranger coming up to you, start talking. Never seen him before in your lives. But they were looking unhappy, so this person said to them, he kind of had peace. They started burning. Have you actually been next to somebody or happened in your life and all of a sudden a funny feeling comes over you? Something comes up your back So this person said to them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they shared with this person all the things that are happening. And then this person started opening the scriptures to them. Looking around, didn't recognize him at all. He explained about how the death was prophesied and it was to be done. But they were so adamant that that person had died on the cross, they were expecting him to save them from the Romans, to redeem the state of Israel and bring it all back to them, not the true purpose. Anyway, they walked along. And it must have been interesting what this chap was saying to them, because they asked him to come back for dinner. So he comes back to dinner with them. Now, these two must have been talking to the 12, the 11 that was left at that time. Because this person, at the beginning of the meal, broke bread. And all of a sudden, their eyes opened. "Oh, you are Jesus who died on the cross." And all of a sudden, just Jesus went. Now, this must be quite an important part of the Bible, because at the end of Mark, at some time after the Gospel of Mark was written, a little passage was added. "Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either." When I was preparing this sermon, the way I normally do things, the couple of weeks before, I try and listen. And in my head would come various different things. I try not to write them down because I always get it wrong. So I pay heed to those words. And then, like yesterday, I sit down and just make some notes. Because trying to write out a sermon is fatal for me, because straight away I'll either lose it or something will go wrong. So I just make a few notes, and I really rely on the Holy Spirit to remind me of the words that have come to me over the last few weeks. We are walking the road of life. Every day we're walking. I'm very fortunate. I have a lovely wife that walks beside me. Some of us are not so fortunate. We're on our own. But there's always somebody walking with us. It's a real promise. There's somebody walking with us. Would we recognize who it is? If he spoke to us, would we believe what he's saying to us? Have you heard that small, still voice? I have. Especially when I've got something completely and utterly wrong. Would we believe what he's saying? Then the next thing is, we're on our road of life. Jesus has come beside us and is walking beside us. He promised us the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's strength. Have we got the nerve to stand up and tell other people about Jesus? About what he has done for us? The testimony is what Jesus has done for us. We should all have a testimony, just a short, and if we meet somebody who really needs help, are we prepared to just say how Jesus has changed our lives? The difficult thing is if people are sceptical, isn't it? But we've all heard, and over the last last week's, etc., heard about the seeds. And if we talk to somebody about what Jesus has done for us and how wonderful he really is, and he is alive, not died on the cross, especially if they're wearing a crucifix, you can actually turn it round for them and say, look, there's nobody on that cross. That seed, which you've sown, later will sprout. We might not even see it. There was one lady Rose and I spoke to many, many years ago when we were a lot younger. We were both in our 30s then. And she was a beautiful singer. I don't know if I've told you before. Forgive me if I have. I'm repeating it. She was a beautiful singer. She was an opera singer. She's a lovely person. She was actually a church warden in the church we were at. That's in the Anglican church we were at. But she was very anti of anything outward, like the mentioning the Holy Spirit, etc. And very anti about knowing that Jesus can change our lives. Well, Rose and I sat down with her one day, and we actually told her about the wall that separates us from God, and how it gradually gets up. The more we walk away from God, the wall kind of grows, and we can't see over it in the end. But we can break it away. There's a big hammer. Jesus gives us the strength to break away the big hammer. And his light will shine upon us. Now, she hadn't given her life to Jesus. And she was very anti, very sceptical when we spoke to her. We met her 20 years later. It's a long time, isn't it? Because the Lord had led us on from then. And she was a born-again Christian, a real born-again Christian. She'd found Jesus into her life. And she actually spoke to us and told us how those few words burned in her heart for years. And then all of a sudden, she realized who Jesus was and gave her life to him. Just one little seed. So a skeptical person, a meeting on our road of life, met with the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus wants to walk with us on our road of life. He wants to be there all the time with us. Isn't it easy to forget he's there? And just carry on our own way. Sunday mornings it's easy because somebody is going to stand up and tell you about him. When we go home, it's very easy to actually forget. I can be guilty of that too. But our life with Jesus is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And he is there beside us. Things go wrong in our lives, don't they? We get tired. We get fed up. When things go wrong, we think, oh God, what's happening here? Why, God? What are you doing to me? But by just turning round, feel his arms. I can actually say, I know that in this congregation there's people of distress who have lost somebody recently or just a little while ago, and they're feeling very empty. 41 years ago, I went through that. And with some friends and my children, I went to the island of Iona. And one evening, all on my own, I climbed quite a high hill. And I was pretty well in tears. I was upset. I was alone with four children. And I didn't know where I was going. When I was on that mountain, all of a sudden I felt a beautiful presence of arms actually really surrounding me and holding me. And I looked up, and I could, in my inner vision, I could see a beautiful, bright light. And then it was the angels were appearing in front of me. And there was a mist. And there was a person there, which I couldn't really see. And I knew at that time that Father in heaven, through Jesus, was holding me really tight. When I came back, it did make a big difference in my life. I'd already given my life to Jesus, but it made a big difference. Because also on Iona, at 3 o'clock one morning, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and, wow, didn't the scriptures open up? I could never understand the scriptures very well, but all of a sudden, they opened. Who Jesus was, what he was doing, what I should be doing in my life, all of a sudden, came alive. A lot of things happened while I was on Iona. When we get tired, Jesus invites us to come to him and he will give us rest. Matthew 11, verses 28. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us, come to him. He will carry our burdens. He will help us in our daily life. And by walking with him, whatever happens to us, he will be there. His strength will be within us. There's lots of songs where we're walking life's weary way, trying hard to be Christians, but really it isn't difficult. Jesus' arms are always open for us. Isn't it nice when you're a child and mum's standing there? And you can run into her arms and mum goes like that. Isn't it a lovely feeling? Wasn't it a lovely feeling when we were young? Wasn't it lovely? It is. When we're in trouble, Jesus' arms are open. We can run into his arms. It doesn't matter what's going wrong in our lives. He will hold us through it. Sometimes it doesn't make it easier or things don't always get put right at that time. Put his arms around us and we are able to bear it because he's promised he will bear it for us. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, there's the disciples. We'll go back to them, shall we? Two of them. In their home with Jesus, he broke bread in front of them and he recognized them. Can we recognize the risen Lord in our hearts and our lives? I've got a couple of notes here. They recognized him because he broke bread. That was a command, wasn't it? At the Last Supper, what did Jesus say? We should break bread together and to take the cup in remembrance of him. So communion is really important. It's remembering him through communion. Now sometimes we get a strange thing, what is communion? In some churches you've got to be a priest to actually celebrate communion because it's wrong otherwise. I believe communion is for everybody. To share in God's communion, we believe that Jesus died and rose for us and let him fill us. We can break bread with each other at any time. Because that's what Jesus says when we break bread. You're remembering me. So by breaking bread, we can actually remember Jesus. And I think that's actually brilliant. Mike Baker actually reminded me of that yesterday, and I had already got it there, but it's there. Thank you. It is important, really important. So we're walking the road of life. Things are hard, things are difficult. But there is a get-out clause, isn't there? We can lift it up, those problems. Health problems, spiritual problems, life's problems in work, mental problems, any problems. Jesus said, I will make your burden light by just coming to me. In the difficulties in my life, I've often waited until I got right down the bottom. And then when I've lifted my arms out, I've been pulled up and out, back out again. There is no problem that Jesus can't pull us out of, honestly. Because he is there. It's not going to be a long sermon today, don't worry. This is a finally. In Revelation 19, verse 19 to 23, those whom I love and rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. This is a beautiful picture. Have you seen the picture with the person with the lamp standing outside the door, knocking on the door? It's a lovely picture. Well, there's Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Opening the door of our hearts. That's a constant thing, because I'm sure we slam it shut. I know I do at times. We slam it shut, because we want Jesus involved in everything in our lives. But opening that door of our hearts, Jesus will step in and fill us. I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Jesus went with the disciples and sat down and ate with them. And later on, he actually appeared to all the disciples in the upper room and sat down and ate with them. They recognized him. But they didn't take his strength, did they? They had to wait for the Holy Spirit. When I received the Holy Spirit, my life changed. Even though I was really at the bottom, at the dregs, my life did change. I got called to ministry pretty well immediately, right at the deep end. But because I was so weak, the Lord was so strong, and things happened. Carrying on in Revelation, so the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, it's important things. Helen brought this up. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are the church. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. Let us hear. Let us listen. Let us take heed. Let us believe. Let us change. What does Jesus say? Listen to what he says. He is speaking to us through his word, the Bible. Not just to the early church in Laodicea, but to us now. Read that passage in Revelations and read the early bit in it. And read it in the King James's Bible and take heed. This is one word, I must admit, I don't apologise for often bringing it. But Jesus says, I will spew you out because you're weak. You don't believe in me. You won't hold on to me. Now, as a church, we don't have to be spewed out. We can grow. We can get bigger. We're on our own now. We haven't got a pastor, so we've got to work together. Let's make ourselves stronger. Let's work together. Let's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord, to change this church and change us. Do we feel far away from God? Let us draw near and ask Him into our hearts. Ask Him to renew our faith and start a new life in Him, together as the body of Christ. Come together, brothers and sisters. Have burning in our hearts, because we've met the Lord Jesus. Let's have burning in our hearts. Jesus is near. Amen.